In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Good morning. It's that time of the year where we have these lengthy gospel readings. So when we have one of those, I like to pick it apart one word at a time. So I hope you're comfortable. Actually, it didn't seem like the right thing to do, as this is being the fourth Sunday in Lent. I got to check my, this is actually a special Sunday in Lent, depending on how far back into our Catholic roots you want to go. So this is Laetare Sunday. That's my Latin, that's as good as it gets. Which is basically formed out of a word meaning rejoice. So partway into Lent we have this day, this Sunday that's sort of a little bit lighter than the other Lenten Sundays. I guess we figured we needed a little boost in this long haul. If we were very Anglo-Catholic, our vestments would all be pink today. So we'd even lighten the purple up a little bit. But there were no pink vestments in the drawer, so we're still purple today. All of these things within our tradition often carry with them a little different symbolism. So I just wanted to share that with you a little bit. Before I start moving towards what I actually wanted to talk about, was following this theme of forgiveness and reconciliation, which we see pieces of in all of our readings today, which is really wonderful. The forgiveness and reconciliation, this is really important. We hear about it, of course, in the gospel in a very prominent way with the prodigal son. And then, you know, we heard it in the Old Testament. We even heard it in the Psalm. But I really want to talk to you about what Paul has to say about it in his letter to the church in Corinth, his second letter. Because Paul, being Paul, of course, adds more to it, a slightly different perspective and understanding. So as we read him today and recognize this for Sunday, this opportunity to see the light, so to speak, in the midst of what can sometimes be a long wandering path of looking into the depth of our souls and hopefully the messy part of it a little bit and allowing Jesus in there, do a little house cleaning, another spring cleaning project for you if you want one. We want to hear what Paul has to say. However, before we do that, I need to know from you all, are you aware that your transgressions have been forgiven?
Yes.
About half of you. Are you aware your transgressions have been forgiven?
Yes.
Excellent. Otherwise, my entire sermon will mean nothing to you. I'm talking to the church, amen? Paul is talking to the church. So we have to listen to what Paul has to say as if we were sitting there as the church that he helped launch in the city in Corinth. But we need to hear it today as that same church and hear what he has to say. Knowing that our transgressions have been forgiven through the body and blood of Jesus Christ, we can hear from now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. And this is why everyone looks different, by the way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Right? Well, that sounds like an amen to me, right? Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new again. That's where we live. That's who we are. We are the ones who just proclaimed we understand through God's grace, the very body and blood of Jesus Christ, our transgressions have been forgiven. So we have this new way to live. We have a new way to walk in it. We can be a new creation. Some people may say they're born again. That sounds a little startling. I know in the Episcopal Church, we don't like to use that language. So if new creation works better for you, that's fine. I'm all about being born again. I understand exactly what that means. It's in the Bible, so it's okay. But the question is, are we ready to live in that? And that's what Paul is encouraging us to. And there's a reason. All this is from God, he says in verse 18, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. Good so far? Okay, well, hang on. And has given us the ministry of reconciliation. How you feel now? It's good to recognize, right? My transgressions have been forgiven. Everybody said yes, amen? Amen. And now Paul says, now what? Paul says, because of that, and because you know that, because you know the depths in which God has pulled you from, he now says, has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That reconciliation that we have experienced through Jesus Christ, the mission and the ministry of that now belongs to the church. Now belongs to the church. It's what was given to us. If Jesus was still hanging out, we'd be good. But he's not here physically, is he? He's here how? He lives where? In us. He's present in the church, the people. Not the building, by the way. We keep calling this building the church because we don't know what else to call it. But it's not. It's just the building where the church gathers. Then we like to call it, well, it's the sanctuary. It's not. The sanctuary is up here, by the way. If you want to get technical. At the moment, there's about 5-6 holy people up there in the sanctuary. The rest of us are out here. But we're all invited in. We're the church. So Paul says the church has been given this task. Verse 19. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. And this tells us how he did it. You ready? Not counting their trespasses against them. Oh, that's how it works. He looked at us and went, whoa. Ah, you guys are never going to make that up. Let me come to you. Let me make a way through me so you can come and be reconciled. And hopefully we said yes. So we can be reconciled and we can become that which God's called us to be. The church. And we can take on this role that he's given us. Because Paul likes to press in a little further. He does it 3-4 times, actually, depending on how you want to read it in this short passage. He's already told us that God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And now, after we hear that God's done this, he's reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against him, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. Entrusting. You can't not do it. It has been assigned to you. That's what entrusting is. It's not an option for the church. It is what the church does. This work of reconciliation has been assigned to us by God through Jesus Christ. Still feeling confident about getting in on this church thing? It's tough, right? Because we can hear that, and we go, well, what does that mean? You know, we're not going to count somebody's transgressions. That is my specialty. We use a different word. We like to call it judgment. I mean, I can do that. And then the Lord reminds me sometimes, you know, when I get aligned properly, how wrong I can be. So what I really love to do is accept God's grace for myself. I am so glad of that. And I can fall on that. Everything I do wrong, I just go, okay, Lord, you know what? I know it's the 500th time I've done this, but I give it to you. And I'm usually good for a couple weeks after that. For that one thing, whatever it may be. But to quickly I'll forget, oh, it's for everybody. Now, when I can remember that, that being able to do that through the power of Jesus Christ and his very Spirit indwelling me, that's how I am the church. That's how I am working out my assignment. It comes a little easier then. So the other morning, I got a great reminder. It was a good reminder because I didn't necessarily need it. It was a reminder, not a correction. Sometimes the corrections don't come so smoothly. The reminders are nice. That tells me, wow, I actually maybe got it right this morning. But keep in mind, I was on my way here. I hadn't gotten very far. So I'm sitting at the intersection of Miller Road and State Road 60. And as I'm sitting there waiting for the traffic light, which is really long, by the way, which when I'm the first one up there, I don't appreciate, but when I'm two blocks away, I'm very happy about. This woman comes kind of out of the bushes off to my left. And it was pretty evident she lives there in some fashion. Just by the look of her body and the way in which she was has been keeping herself, she's living on the street. And in her movements and other signs that were visible, I could tell almost immediately that she is struggling with addiction. And I could also tell by the way in which she was moving and the way she was walking and the way in which she was attempting to engage people in traffic. She had discovered her body was a resource to get to the drugs that she was seeking. Are you with me? This was a good reminder. Many years ago, and it's been a long time, I'm grateful to say, I would have made an immediate judgment and decision about that person and given her a very lovely label. But on that morning last week, I had to fight back the tears. Because my heart was broken, that this child of God, this daughter of someone in this world, potentially mother of another child of God, was so broken and damaged that this is where her life had led. So instead of standing in judgment, I stood in prayer. See, when we acknowledge the grace we have been given, we no longer see people in their human form, as Paul said. When we have discovered that which Christ has righted in our lives, we can then see the potential in every life. Because we are all his. Just not everybody knows it yet. Not everyone has been reconciled to God yet. And if we find someone out in the world who is not reconciled to God, brothers and sisters, we have been given the task. In fact, Paul goes on to say, after being entrusted the message of reconciliation to us, he says, so we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. You're hearing the theme, I assume. Ambassadors. You've heard the word, right? If I was the ambassador to Iraq, where would I live? We are ambassadors for Christ to the world. So we have to live where? In the world. We have to be out there being ambassadors. We have to be out there carrying the message of reconciliation. It has been assigned to us by God to do this work. We are empowered by him to do it. It is our own transformation that allows us to see clearly the way in which to do it. So as we make our way through Lent, sometimes we just give up chocolate, and sometimes we give up our lives. Which will it be? We can play it safe, or we can live in the glory of God. I'm going to say, don't play it safe. In fact, I would say this. Paul, verse 20. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. We entreat you. Now that sounds a little bit like right one, doesn't it? Let me use a more familiar word that means the same. Brothers and sisters, Paul is a preacher talking to the church. As a preacher talking to God's church, for whatever reason he called me to do that, let me use a word that may sound more to you, more familiar to you in the understanding of what he means. I am begging you to be reconciled to God. That's my job. It's been assigned to me. It's the only reason I get out of bed in the morning. I have been a recipient of the grace of God. And as a result, he has assigned to me the role of carrying the message to the world, to be his ambassador, to go to the world and say, I am begging you to come to know Christ so that you can be reconciled to God. You don't have to live with the pain. You don't have to live with the sorrow. You don't have to live with the shame. He can make you well. He can purify that life of yours that maybe got a little off track. And we can begin with learning to forgive. And brothers and sisters, let's start with the person that is most difficult for us to forgive first, and that is whom? Ourselves. If we stay stuck there, we are never going to be able to carry the message. It's times like these I really wish we had the other cross hanging up. If you've ever been in my office, there's a wooden crucifix with Jesus nailed to it, hangs on the wall. That is a huge part of my ministry. We have one over here in the chapel, right? Jesus nailed to the cross. I cannot tell you how many times I've sat in my office with somebody who believes that God forgives through Jesus Christ. They believe he forgives everybody but themselves. They have no problem that God has forgiven me. They have no problem that God's forgiven others. But when it comes to themselves, they go, yeah, I'm not sure. Be sure. Be sure. If you can't be sure, I want you at some point before you leave here today, go stand before that crucifix where it shows Jesus nailed to the cross and dying, and ask yourself, can you ask him for more? Because that's what you're doing. When you won't forgive yourself, you're standing at the foot of that cross with Jesus nailed to it and saying, give me more. What more is there? Is there more? No. I'm begging you. Begging you. To be reconciled to God.